And if you would take that Bible in the pew there in front of you and turn to page 204 or 205, and you will be in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And we want to spend a little time there this morning, this Father's Day morning. Page 204 begins, and 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let's stand together as we honor God's word. And we'll read verses 1 to 16 and then verse 28 of this chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1 begins, "After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. It pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out of all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands.' Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. 'They have credited David with tens of thousands,' he thought, 'but me with only thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom?' And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, 'I'll pin David to the wall.' But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had left Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns." And over to verse 28, "When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy the rest of his days." Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would speak to us from your word today, and that your Holy Spirit would strengthen us in our walk with you and cause us to know the great love and compassion that you have and the great plan that you have for every life that is surrendered to you. So, Father, take these moments and this your word and touch our hearts with a fresh coal from the altar of heaven and draw us deep unto yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I put the title on this morning's thoughts that it is strength of godly character that makes a man. Now, in a time of gender confusion, which is where our society and culture is these days, what is it that makes a man? As we look at this text, we'll see three men are mentioned in it primarily. We want to consider how different they are from each other. And we want to think a little bit, too, this morning about friendship on this Father's Day. Friendship is so valuable, isn't it? And yet men in our culture and society find it so difficult to trust and to build strong and deep friendships. And so I want us to think about this scripture and what it teaches us through this passage this morning. And we'll keep it just simple. The first thing that I believe we want to see in the text is that although David had success, he had an enemy. David had an enemy, Saul. And when we read this chapter, we see it comes out so strongly. Even that last verse that we read tells us that Saul remained David's enemy for the rest of his days. Why was Saul David's enemy? Well, as you saw as we read through the text, the problem started with the women. And lest I get shot before this Father's Day is over, we'll just say that they were singing. Those girls were singing. Doing a wonderful job of it, I am sure. It says they were singing and dancing. Where's Rob? Anyway, singing and dancing and using tambourines and rejoicing over the victory that David had brought through taking Goliath down and bringing great victory to Israel. As they sang, Saul has slain thousands. And David, tens of thousands. And the scripture says this. It says, Saul kept from that time on a jealous eye on David. Envy is listed as one of the seven deadly sins in our ancient world. Jealousy, envy, same root, same thing. Jealousy ruins relationships. It is always destructive. And you can see many examples in the scripture. Haman looked at Mordecai and was jealous and wanted him removed off the face of the earth. You see, jealousy is always destructive. It ruins families. It ruins friendships. And if you remember the story of Jacob's family, you'll remember that Joseph was one who was given a special colored coat. And his brothers, it tells us, were so excited. They ran up to him and said, "Oh, brother, 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 I'm so glad you got that coat. You're so special. You're so wonderful. What a blessing you are in my life. How marvelous it is that you got that." And I didn't. Ah. See, even old guys can run once in a while. You remember they were so jealous of him. And it brought about the fact that they sold him into slavery. Yeah, but God had a plan, didn't he? Just as he did in David's life and just as he does in your life today. So as we think about this enemy, it came about that out of jealousy grew this lifetime of animosity between Saul and David. You'll find in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer, he wanted the gift of the Holy Spirit so that if he could watch the disciples put their hands on people and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, he wanted that. He was jealous that those guys had it and he didn't, and he could make money out of it. And you see, this thing of jealousy, it comes from this root of bitterness that grows so easily in the human heart. And oh, I pray this morning, if anybody here is struggling with this root of bitterness, I know from personal experience how tough it is. Sometimes life can hurt and our pride can be trampled and it seems as if we don't count, etc., etc. But the Bible is so clear, do not carry that root of bitterness. Do not hold on to it. The scriptures tell us that Saul was angry with David. And as we just look at that, anger goes along with jealousy. You know, when life doesn't go quite the way we thought, it's pretty easy, isn't it, to just get angry. I remember preaching in Grant Memorial Baptist Church in Winnipeg one day, and a man came up to me afterwards and said, "You have to help me. I'm just constantly angry." And I remember watching Christ set him free from it as we prayed and sought the Lord together. In James chapter 1 and verse 20, we read that man's anger does not accomplish God's purpose. Now, there's a difference between anger and righteous indignation. There are times when we want to stand strong and speak out for what is right. But anger is a secondary emotion. It's that internal strife that goes on, and when our self-life, our old flesh, is trying to domineer once again. Saul, you see, was feeling threatened by David, this mere youth who had the audacity without armor or anything to walk into the valley of Elah and with a simple stone and the power of God bring down the enemy and bring victory. Oh, God's ways are indeed not our ways. But you see, this secondary emotion of anger comes so often because we are threatened. We feel the threat of something or other. One of the wonderful joys about having a few years is I no longer have to worry. Because if the worst happens, I'm going to be with Jesus and watch Lorna ride her horse in heaven. And if people don't like me, people don't like me. You see, Christ came to set us free, that we need not be controlled by these emotions that come out of the self-life. Saul was angry because Saul was threatened. His position was under threat. Oh, how amazing it is when we no longer have to worry about self. I love an old Irish preacher called W.P. Nicholson. He was preaching in Lanark, Scotland one day. Not many people would come, and so he ran down the main street the next day, ringing a bell and shouting, "Fire!" So people came out to see what was going on, and this is what he said. "It's hellfire, you Presbyterians, and I'm trying to save you from it. Come to the meetings." What an amazingly awful, embarrassing moment. But every soul that came to Christ in those meetings afterwards came because W.P. Nicholson said this: "My reputation went to the cross so that the cross could come to others." In other words, he didn't care what people thought of him. He wasn't threatened by the fact of how he might appear. He just wanted that the gospel of Christ would be foremost and that people would come to know him. We see David has this enemy, Saul, and there's another thing I need to mention before we move on. He is manipulating and controlling. And oh, how obvious it is. He sends David out to die. David, thanks for killing Goliath. Listen, here's 1,000 men. Would you just take them? There's about 10,000 out there. You can handle it, no problem. Just go face the enemy and face the enemy. Why did he do that? Because he wanted David dead. Controlling and manipulating. He uses family to try to control as well. Oh my. You see, he gave David his daughter as a wife, but it was really only so that he might have control of the situation. Godly character does not keep jealousy, does not hold unrighteous anger, is not manipulating or controlling, but is indeed surrendered to God. Saul cares for no one but himself, according to this record of Scripture, and he's a poor example of leadership, of fatherhood, because he's too self-centered. So let me move on and think then about David has a friend, Jonathan. You know what Club DJ stands for? I heard a whisper, a little ripple. Pastor Shea shouted out loud.
David and Jonathan.
David and Jonathan. Yeah, that's what Club DJ stands for. David and Jonathan. David has this friend, and I have said it's hard for men to build godly friendship because it takes a lot of trust and it takes a lot of vulnerability, and oh, how we need to see it happen. So how did it happen here in this text? Well, David has a friend whose name is Jonathan. Some of the commentaries that I read said to me that Jonathan is perhaps as much as 20 years older than David. See, we have this idea of these two young guys, and they're kind of hanging out together, but Jonathan is actually quite a bit older than David, and he is a true friend. Now, there are those in our culture and society who would twist this scripture, and they would try to make it the basis for an alternative lifestyle. And so let me just be very clear. That's absolute rubbish. When we see the things that are going on in these days, we need to be reminded of what God's Word says. And when we think about this friendship, there is nothing that is based on sensuality or physical things at all recorded in Scripture here for us. Jonathan's love is that kind of love that we find in John 13 and verse 35, where Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." That's the kind of love that we see here. So in a few moments here, let me just try to unpackage this. Jonathan's love was uncommon love. Pastor, why would you say that? Well, he placed his robes and his position on David. He willingly laid aside everything and he sacrificed it to put David in that place. You want to see an amazing verse? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 17, and let's take time to read it. Jonathan is speaking here. 1 Samuel 23, verse 17. "Don't be afraid," he said to David. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." Wahoo! It's uncommon love. It's not something that is base or carnal. He placed those robes on David. He knew that David would be the king. There's no jealousy here. And it gives to us a picture of the love that Jesus has for his people. For he set aside everything for you and for me. The Lord Jesus took off those heavenly robes and came clothed in flesh like we were every day. And he came to demonstrate the love of God for you and me. David, really, compared to Jonathan, was just a pauper. He was some kid from nowhere. But Jonathan knew that David was going to be the king. And you see, we're like that until the Lord Jesus comes in. Just someone with no resources, coming from nowhere and not belonging anywhere. Lorna's family told me all through the week here, the happiest year of her life is this past year because she's been connected to the Lord and the church. She found that acceptance in Christ that the world can never give. Jonathan's love was uncommon. Jonathan's love was uncomplicated. You see there in verse 1, there's a clear picture of grace. He sees this young man who's brought about a great victory, and it says he loved him as himself. You see, Jesus loves us in grace. Romans 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. And God's love is uncomplicated because it is his nature. You take the time later and look up 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, and you'll see that they say, God is love. It's not that he gives love. He is love. This is so uncomplicated, but the world wants to make it so complicated. If you do all these good things, God will love you. If you, just give all that you have, God will love you. If you do, but God simply says, if you will come to Christ in repentance, recognizing there is a need for forgiveness of sin. In his grace, he gives new life. David had a friend, Jonathan. Jonathan shows us just what was to come in the Lord Jesus, that uncomplicated love. You think about this love. What in the world would take someone from the comfort of one nation where all is well and send them into a troubled part of the world to love people and to bring them to Christ? That's that uncomplicated love that Jesus brings into the heart. And I can tell you, many times when I have gone to international ministry and to speak a word for Jesus, you stand there and watch sometimes thousands of people, and God puts in the heart love. Because each one needs to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You think about those that we call missionaries or international workers, those who have gone before William Carey. The cost was enormous. Many of his family died when he went as a missionary. Hudson Taylor, same thing. Adoniram Judson. So many, the list goes on and on and on. Why? Because like this love that Jonathan displays, it is to share Christ with others. I must hasten. I don't feel like finishing preaching this morning. I'd like to keep you to 5 or 6 o'clock tonight, but I'm not gonna, so relax. Jonathan's love was unconditional. Verse 3 says, he loved him as he loved his own soul. Now, there were many challenges to this relationship that in friendship Jonathan and David had. Saul, Jonathan's father, wanted to kill David, wanted to get rid of him. That could have complicated things, don't you think so? But Jonathan's love in God for David was unconditional. And it's a picture of God's love for you and me. In Ephesians chapter 3, it tells us that there's no measure to God's love. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, consider the width of it and the depth of it and the length of it. And there isn't any. It's measureless, boundless. And you know, Jesus doesn't give us a list of things that we have to do to be his friend. He just calls us to recognize that there is sin in life. And when we repent or change our mind and turn away from it, there is forgiveness, there is cleansing, there is truth, there is new life in Christ. I think about a third thing. We have a personal application when we think about this story. And so let me just quickly walk through a couple of thoughts here. David had an enemy, Saul. David had a friend, Jonathan. You and I, we have an enemy, Satan. And you and I, we have a friend, Jesus Christ. He is the one who can carry us through life and carry us to heaven. Roberta's hometown is Lisburn in Northern Ireland. And half a dozen years ago, I was preaching in Free Methodist Church in Lisburn. And a man spoke to me afterwards and said, John, you used to be part of the UDA, but something changed. That's the Ulster Defense Association. It's the opposite of the IRA. It's a terrorist group. And then he said this, I have been involved in more than 100 missions for the UDA. My heart is so heavy. My mind is so polluted. I have nowhere to go. But I hear you say, there's one way and only one way to find the real answer. He was gloriously saved that night. No longer burdened by the sin that he carried, no longer struggling with his thought life and the anger and the manipulation and all of the things that go along with it, but filled instead with the love and the forgiveness of God. You know, human friendship is so valuable and precious. How much more then friendship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus calls us to him, and he calls us deeper in him. How will we know when we're getting deeper in the love of God? John chapter 3, not verse 16 this time, but verse 30. And this is what it says. John the Baptist is speaking about Jesus, and he says, he must increase, and I must decrease. You see, the depth of friendship with God changes us from the inside out. He calls us to that deeper life and walk with him. We can achieve many things in this life, but true character and success is to know the Lord is with you. That's what made such a difference in David Did you notice twice in our text it said, the Lord was with him? So let me, on this Father's Day, speak to you for a moment. Is the Lord with you today? Our world and our culture, they want you to put it this way. I am with the Lord. And I want you to think instead, is the Lord with you? And as we come to a conclusion on this Father's Day morning, oh, if you don't know Christ, He wants to be with you. But you must take the step of inviting Him into your heart and into your life. And if you know Christ, but you're happy to go on about your own things and just show up once in a while, oh, dear friends, go deeper. You'll find there's a reservoir of the love of God that lifts us beyond anything that this world has to offer. And as long as this old man's voice can do it, I'll plead with you. Surrender it to Christ. If there are bitternesses, take them to the cross this morning. If there's anger, bring it to the altar in your heart. If there's a desire to be in control, give it up. Surrender it. I'm going to ask Shay to lead us in a song, and then I'm going to come back and pray. Think on it. Is the Lord with me?